Torah Chaf Beis, Be'ezus Hashem is Baruch. We're going to be Messiah the Torah with this year, although we could start right back at the beginning and learn it as though we've never seen it before, even preparing the summary for the year. And I've summarized it at the beginning of, you know, maybe every single year throughout the series. I saw new things. I saw the same thing from a different perspective, omit on new details, and I had almost harata. I wish I could go back to the beginning, but the Torah has just endless depth, and this would always be our experience. So Be'ezus Hashem, Hadran Alach V'Hadra Halan, as we're going to be Messiahim. The Torah starts off, it's on page Lamed Daled in the standard print. Some of the other prints have a new simen. Just to begin, this week we're going to be laying a Parshas Bechukaisai. Bechukaisai has the Teichacha. The Teichacha is talking about when there's Gzar Din, when there's Din in the world. This Torah that we're learning now, Torah Chaf Beis, talks about when there's a Gzar Din and understanding in that context the role of the Tzaddikim, the different aspects of the role of the Tzaddikim, and our relationship with the Tzaddikim, and building this picture, how we understand this dynamic between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. There's a constant word that comes up in the Teichacha along the lines. I'm going to read one of the psukim. V'gam ebe'ele lo tivasru li v'halachtem imi keri. What's the lashon of keri? A lashon of keri is a lashon of mikra. Sometimes you could say happenstance, coincidence, or nature. This is the way things go. Is it something that's calculated? Is it something specific? I want to do something and I walk out and it's raining. Unfortunately, it ruined my plans. But is this something to get angry about? This is the way of the world. Things happen. Or do I live in a world where there's active engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everything is Ashgacha Pratis. Everything is a message. Instead of when something goes not necessarily the way I want, instead of saying, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu screaming so loud? We could stop and ask, well, what is he saying? The source of what brings Teichacha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us messages louder because we're not listening, is when we look at the world and we say that it's mikra. Well, however, what's the source of when things happen and we declare maybe a tainus, when we do tshuva? The idea of tshuva in response to events that are happening in the world means that we be'etzem have amuna. We be'etzem relate to what's going on in the world as a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, or a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was nisayrer l'tayv l'mutav by our actions, and therefore this inspires us to make a cheshben nefesh to see whether what we're doing needs fixing, whether we're doing something good, we need to be doing it better. Everything is a dynamic relationship, felt the most in Eretz Yisrael. We talked in earlier Torahs about the idea of nes and tefillah being something that's indicative and expressive of a dynamic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we step aside from that and relate to the world, sometimes things are good, sometimes things are bad, we have to respond, but it's mikra. It's not a world with an active involvement in Hashgacha practice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the way that we understand gzeiras. What is a gzeira? A gzeira is gzar din. What's a din? It's a din taira. Yisrael v'araisa kod shebrichu chadu. It's all part of one system. The world functions within a spiritual physics, so to say, and all of this is within the rules of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created any world that he wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Hisakabo Raisu Bar Alma. There's a framework of Torah, there's a framework of Din. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world within this framework, and therefore, if you had Das Torah, you have these stories of Gedolim that were able to see what was happening on a Klaliistic level, on a Pratiistic level, and they were able to associate it with something that the Klal Yisrael, that an individual has to work on, because they understood the parallels, they understood what was going on in the world as being a microcosm, as being an expression of something greater, and if you could match that up, Ramach Ivarim Shasagidin, the Mitzvah Saseh, Lo Saseh, the way that there's that there's the Shirkoma in Shemayim, and the way that expresses itself in this world, you'd be able to match it up. You would know what's going on. The Torah starts off and it talks about when there's going to be a Gzar Din, there's different stages. Before the Gzar Din, after the Gzar Din, we talked about it again in earlier Torahs. And in paragraph Aleph, it describes the Tzaddikim, that the Tzaddikim are the Mechichei Adar, the Bechinas Raglin. Why are they Raglin? And it says two reasons. Number one, they are Limudei Hashem. They give HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eitzah, so to speak, Torah Lo B'Shemayim Hi, in the context of implementing a Gzar Din. This, by definition, involves, or it seems that it involves the tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim have one role to give etza to Hashem, so to speak, whatever that means. On the other hand, v'hem holchem b'shlichus liYisrael, they also go as shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael, ha'ichicham l'achzirim l'Hashem Yisbarach. V'al shem zeh nikrin b'chinas raglin, both directions, upwards towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also to give teichacha to Klal Yisrael in order to hopefully avoid the need for this gzeira. Now, Rabbi Nachman discusses this before he says that the gzeira is passed. So, the first thing that the tzaddikim are doing is both giving etza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, minimizing the chet, as it were, arguing on behalf of Klal Yisrael. We went into all this in depth, and also giving teichacha to Klal Yisrael even before the gzeira is passed, because then the Torah goes after, u'kshashem yisbarach gozer gzar din ba'olam v'adinu Torah, that once the gzeira is passed, and now there's a gzeira in the world, this is an expression of truth, this is an expression of Torah, at that point, v'machasin zed in Torah v'chois m'naisai, mayin chasim shalo yinku mimenu achitzainim. We had a whole discussion of this in the first shiur, but, you know, perhaps one way that we can just express it for now is, What is a gzardin? What is a gzera? On one hand, it's to restore equilibrium. Everything is ma'irer, a response. What we do down here, it is arusa delisata, and that's going to inspire and trigger a response. Lamala, there has to be an equilibrium restored to the world. Klal Yisrael, an individual, did something that was positive, negative, and there's going to be gzera. That's going to trigger a response from Shemayim. The other thing is that there's a purpose to a punishment. There's a purpose to Yisurim. Sometimes that can be to give a message. It can be to restore direction, right? If something goes off course, there's going to be a bumper to put it back on the right direction. What happens if somebody does tshuva, if Klal Yisrael do tshuva? So now the direction is restored. There's no need as far as the message is concerned. In fact, the point of the punishment, which would otherwise be destructive, the point of the punishment has already been achieved. On the other hand, there's this energy in the world that was already triggered. An action was done that had a spiritual consequence. So now, perhaps this is one way of expressing the idea, now that there's this energy in the world, that could be applied in different ways. Maybe there could be a mituk in the din that could be either tempered, applied even perhaps to the positive, right? There's a Maamar Chazal that say that there are times that if a person does tshuva me'ava, it could be an avera, will not only turn a mezid into a shogeg, it'll turn even into a mitzvah. Now there's an entity, there's a spiritual energy in the world. How could there be a mituk in that energy? So over here, the way that we're expressing it is that the tzaddikim at this point are going to be machasa the din taira, because we don't want that there should be yinku mimenu achitzainim, that this energy should end up giving nourishment to the chitzainim, to the negative forces, and it will become into harsh punishment, otherwise it could be diverted. So one element of what the tzaddikim are going to do is try to avoid the punishment, to give etza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, and to try to give teichacha to Klal Yisrael, to draw them close in order that there should be to avoid the punishment. And once there's a gzar din, that the chaysim, the first chaysim, the chaysim pnimi, the chaysim raglin, is that the tzaddikim are going to try to keep the gzera under wraps, as it were, until it becomes expressed out in the open. There's still room to divert it, the way that Rav Chaim Kraner brings from the Arizal in the note, that the idea of gvuris, the idea of judgment, is compared to red wine. It's the gvuris is associated with the color red. The halacha references that wine has to be kept in a chaysem b'say chaysem. In the event that the tzaddik's rebuke, the chaysem is destroyed at that first stage, then the chaysem, it's out there, that will become nidas. It will not stay. Chaysem and nidas is the same gematria, with expulsion and dispute becoming the norm. Chas v'shalom, we'll see that soon. So this is going to be the first stage. The next stage is v'yesh chaysem shehu l'malam izeh chaysem. So seemingly, just as I'm reading it now, it seems that this is potentially even after the gzar din is passed. Haynu b'chinas yedayim hamakabla musra me'eleh hamochichim. Now, so I'm suggesting, I don't know, but it seems to be that the tzaddikim at the level of raglin have the idea of giving teichacha to Klal Yisrael to make it maybe that the gzar din will not be necessary. Over here, now, once the gzar din is passed, and now once there's already the first chaysem that the gzar din is there and the tzaddikim are trying to keep it under wraps, so to speak, so that it's not going to be yoinik the chitzaynim. So now the tzaddikim are going to give teichacha to Klal Yisrael to try to affect a mituk in that din. In order for the tzaddikim to do that, there has to be a relationship between Klal Yisrael and the tzaddikim. That relationship is built on emuna. Over here, Chaim Kramer again brings in the note that if people do not accept the rebuke of the tzaddikim, they grow even more distant from God, bringing expulsion and disputes in their wake, which we just mentioned from the other note. And there's also one point I want to bring from the Kitzer. We're talking about the tzaddikim being marbim shalom ba'aylam. They're minimizing the sin of Klal Yisrael towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're being melamed zchus, and also they're trying to bring the Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that it reads now. The point that I didn't distinguish earlier was the idea of being bringing tochacha to Klal Yisrael both before and after the Gzar Din, but I think it reads well into the words because we're going to discuss preserving the outer seal in being mekabel techacha from the echicha emes through amuna in order so that the inner seal doesn't get preserved. The inner seal wasn't put into place until after the Gzar Din. So now I think, you know, I'm suggesting it makes sense. The Gzeira really had two purposes. One of them was to get us to right our ways. If we were mekabel the teichacha from the tzaddikim, which we can only do if we have that relationship with tzaddikim through emuna, raya mehemna, Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the lesson over here? It says, ikra tzaddik b'chinas Moshe shenikra al-shem zeh raya mehemna ki roya ha-emuna letaknu la-shlima. That Moshe Rabbeinu is working to rectify Amuna, to bring it to Amuna Shlema, to perfection. So that's there's so many competing influences in the world. For us to attach ourselves to the tzaddikim that are facilitating a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that are be'etzem just a walking, living, breathing Sefer Torah and embodiment of the principles of MS. So now the point of the Gzar Din we don't need anymore. The only problem is that the Gzar Din was passed and now there's this energy in the world that's there for the taking and there has to be a balance achieved in the world. So as long as the inner Gzeiro, the inner Chaisim rather, is in place, Klal Yisrael in the world could be safe from the Gzeira, but if Rahman al-Islam were not, we don't have a relationship with the Tzaddikim, and the Tzaddikim are unable, as it were, to keep keep that energy, that Gzar Din under wraps, and the Chitzoinim and the forces of Ra, which are going to be nisar by our actions and our lack of Amunah. Let's see the way the words of the Kitzer, V'tzorach Shmir Yisera Shlo Yiskalkel Chaisim Zehainu Amunah, Shaydei Zechas V'Shalom Yuchlu Lekalkel Chaisim Apnimi. If the outer seal is disturbed, so then the inner seal can be disturbed, then now this Gzeira is going to be ripe for the taking by the forces of Ra and Machlekes, Vaz Niskalkel Shloima Oilem Chas V'Shalom, the Shalom, the ultimate equilibrium of the world is going to be destroyed, the Shalom between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shalom of the world, Vayidei Kilkel HaMuna Chas V'Shalom Hubal Kfiras, a person could come to Kfira, Vele Amunas Kosbios, and to faith and alignment with outside ideas, not with the MS, not with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. L'kama minei leitzonos. Leitzonos is a cynicism. It could be a problem in making light. In one of the words I don't have in front of me of the vidur that I think is said on Yom Kippur Katan, we made light of things that are heavy and heavy of things that are light. When people's value system is off, I saw from Rav Avigdor Miller on the Emor Teres Avigdor sheet, he says that the Orcha Tzaddikim brings midos and their opposites. So there could be gaiva and anava. He says by kas, there's no, I was just reading it quickly, but I happened to see it someplace, but it was a profound point the way that I understood it. By kas, so what would be the opposite of kas? It should be patience. He says, no, what's the opposite of kas? Ratzon, because what be'etzem is kas? Kas is a reaction to things that are not going the way that they should be. There is perhaps a positive expression of kas. If a person sees that somebody bullying somebody defenseless, widows, orphans, rishayim, have power, a lot of times I would love to stand up against the bully, but I don't have it in me. I'm more of an introvert. I can't stand up for what's right, but I need to stand up for what's right. Right? The chashmonayim. We need to stand up when things are mamish, the rishayim are just gaining power, people are just going against the defenseless. That kas, that energy, that adrenaline is what can get me going. However, that would be an appropriate use and directing the energy of kas. That, what's the opposite of that? So he says that the Aruch Tzaddikim brings Ratzon. I didn't go look it up inside. The idea of having Kas appropriately and not misusing that idea assumes that I have the right priorities, the right Ratzon, the right value system. Once my value system, my priorities, what I want is off, so then the idea of a response against something that violates my principles, well, if my principles are off, if my Ratzon is not aligned, if I don't have control of my Ratzon, one way to address Kas is don't get angry. The other way is addressing what is it that's getting me angry in the first place. If I address first principles and Emunah and Ratzon, I'm saying that everything is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I avoid. I'm never going to get into that situation in the first place. So he says that Leitzonis is cynicism, right? It doesn't just mean like telling bad jokes. Leitzonis is taking something that's heavy. The Mesil Sharm says greasing a shield, so that you take something that has impact and then it becomes diverted. You're greasing like a round shield. You're making light of something that's heavy. With one comment, you could sweep away a full Musar Shmuz. Ve'eno shemei klala Musar va'yidei kilkel toichacha va'musar amzam zarin in the kitzer. Through kilkel toichacha and Musar is the bam gerishin, which we said is like need a lashon of nidas. So you're turning the chaysim into nidas. The chaysim could have kept the gzar din under wraps, and now there's going to be Gerishin, exile, the Tetulim Nases, people are going to have to move around, and there's going to be Machlekes Ba'olam Lahefech Mishalom. Nimze She'emunah Hiya Iker, Emunah is Be'etzim at the core, at the root of avoiding all of these things. There won't be a Gzar Din, there won't be Machlekes, there won't be Gerishin in the world. Iker Chaysim Elyon Shel Kedusha, to preserve Kedusha, we'll stay in Eretz Yisrael, right? We had to think in Torah Zion, we talked about Tefillah, we talked about Emunah, we talked about Nes, we talked about Eretz Yisrael. V'yiklolius HaKedusha V'yishma V'yikabal Musar, and then we will be able to right ourselves. People are human beings. We do the wrong thing, but if we want to bring ourselves in line, we want to be able to attach ourselves to the tzaddikim, like the Mesil Shesharim says, the tzaddikim who already have the maze solved, and they're able to tell people which direction to go, when from our vantage point we're so confused. We want to be able to mekabel musar, v'yashuv el Hashem v'yirachmeu nimtzeh shenishmeres kol ha-kedusha al-yidei emunah. Emunah is what preserves all of that kedusha. So how do we be'etzem merit emunah shleimah? That means that what is our whole Torah? Over here we've been talking for 15 minutes. What is the whole Torah about? Emunah Shleima. Emunah Shleima is what's going to preserve our relationship with the tzaddikim, the outer seal, and even if Rachmana Litzlan, either if we would have taken Tachacha from the tzaddikim originally, there wouldn't have been a need for Gzeira, even though we went in the wrong direction. And even after the Gzeira, if we can preserve this Emunah, we're not going to break the inner seal and we won't have the effects, it seems, of the inner Gzeira. How do we merit this Emunah Shleima? We have to come close to the true tzaddikim. And again, we talked about Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shiva Rayim. How do we get close, Lamaisa, to these tzaddikim? We need a certain Azus. What's Azus? So we talked at length about Azus to Kedusha. There's a lot of competing noise in the world, a lot of competing ideals throughout all of the ages. There were a lot of isms, but even now, everybody is standing on principles. Everybody's standing on their version of the way that society should be and what's right and what's wrong, and then they redefine everybody else's ideals as being archaic and old school and nonsense and primitive. And people are how do I know what's right? Here I am, I'm growing up, does it just depend which college, which university I go to? If you look around the landscape of what's going on in the country, everybody's doing things in the name of righteousness, people assuming that they even understand what they're standing up in the name of. How do I cut through all of the noise so that I can see the truth? Because once you see the truth, everything falls away. Arguments only exist. If me and you are arguing, I might think that I'm right and I might think that you're wrong. That's different from saying I'm right and what you're saying is nonsense, right? The example that I always use, just because I think it's easy, is, you know, two people can have an argument about which directions are better. One way is shorter, the other way might have more traffic, but we're both arguing that they get to the same place, that there's different reasons, or I might say that you're just wrong, there's something that you're not aware of, but let's say I say 2 plus 2 is 4, and you're arguing 2 plus 2 is 5. Well, I don't need to respond to that at all. We just had, if you're learning Daf Yomi, we just literally had a Gemara, and the Gemara asks, there was somebody had made an accusation against one of the Gedolei Amoraim, or the Gedolei Tanaim, and it said, and he responded, and they said, why did he respond at all? So in that particular case, it was going to cast some sort of a bad light or a bad accusation against one of his children. He wanted to publicly respond. You don't have to respond to nonsense. There's nothing to respond to. So in this case, you could see two leaders fighting, and you say, you know what, I'll sit this one out, and I'll see which one, you know, who wins, and then I'll follow them. But if you see the truth, if I'm able to cut through all the noise, I'm attaching myself to the tzaddikim, to the MS, so then I'm not even going to be disturbed by everything else. In this case, potentially, we could say it's even a little bit different, because, Kedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called the Mamadaka. If we think about things existing at different altitudes, things in this world, and we related this also to the neshama of the guf, the influence at the if a person is not holding in kedusha, they're not holding by the MS, the influence, the immediate influence, seems to be much stronger from the kailis of Ra. They're much more riled up. I might have mentioned one time there's somebody named Tovia Singer. I've seen him here and there. He is like an anti-missionary. He happens to be very funny, knows Tanakh backwards and forwards and English inside out. I think he said he went through with the Abarbanel. That's what gave it to him. But he, if you look for a while, there was a lot of missionaries running around, and I think he made all of his content free. But it's very, one of the interesting things is if you watch him debate one of these missionaries, one of these priests, he is relatively calm. He seems to have like all of the answers. And you'll see the person arguing about him like hopping up and down, foaming at the mouth, getting all excited, unbelievable. And then you start yelling and getting emotional. And he much more calmly is able to respond. At least that was my experience. I think I watched one or two. But when you have something that's true, it's much more subtle. It's like when two people are arguing and one of them is calm and the other one is just totally emotional and hitting and yelling. Who do you assume is right? When it comes to the rishus and the ra and the outside influences in the world, at the lower altitudes, the guf, the taivas haguf, we all might want to do what's right. Our head could be in the right place. We want kedusha. We want to learn. We want to act appropriately. And yet the taivas seems so much stronger. At the lower altitudes, the push and the influence of other things seem so much worse. So now it's even a level harder. It's not things that seem even and I just don't know which one is right. If anything, the influence of the negative influence seems to be number one much stronger and oftentimes seems to be winning. Sometimes, chas v'shalom, it seems to be that the people that cheat get ahead. So now it's not only a matter of sort of waiting. I need to mamish cut through the noise. I need to mamish cut through all of these influences in order to have clarity. And that kayach that allows me to do that is called azus de kedusha. And if you can cut through it, so then one will be subservient to the other. Rav Huttner, Zatzal, I saw a part of this piece, I think I've mentioned it before, in Pachad Yitzchak, in the beginning of the Shabbos piece, he brings an example. It's actually a halachic example. He talks about if somebody brings a cup, a keli, out, a person that you can't carry on Shabbos. A person brings a keli out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos Kodesh, so then he's going to be over on Haitzah. He just carried. But let's say a person brought out substance and there's a shear to the substance. There's a certain amount that a person is not going to be chayav for less than that shear. Let's say a person has less than that shear, a speck of food. A person would not be chayav for that. However, he doesn't just bring out that food from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. He brings it out inside the kli. Had he brought the cup out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, he'd be chayav. But now that he brings just a less than a shear, less than the requisite amount of food out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but he brings it out inside the kli, not only is he putter on the food, he's putter off on the kli. Why? Because now the kli is subservient to what it's holding. It loses its own identity. Once you attach yourself to the truth and you understand the world and everything going on is just a halbasha, this is just the stage on which we're engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have avodah Hashem. Once a person understands that the true, how does the Kitzur put it, the Ikar Atzmi is to Adam, Ashenikra Eitzel Adam, Ani Hi HaNeshama. That's the me. She Etzem HaKayim La'ad. Even after the, how does a person get reward and punishment if he dies? He doesn't die. The same him in this world is the him in the next world. Otherwise, if the person died, then how could he get reward and punishment? He's no longer around. No, the body was the Keli, although the body is Tchias HaMesim, and the body is going to come back. But the Guf is Be'etzem HaKeli for Neshama. Once a person relates to the true himself as the driver of the vehicle, as the neshama in the guf, so then he's able to actually relate also to the guf appropriately, and the guf itself takes on meaning, as it were, and also finds its place within the universe of Kedusha. But how do we get this Azus of Kedusha? Says the Kitzur, V'lovola, Azus of Kedusha, Hanal Hi Al Yidei Simcha. It's through Simcha. So we'll say a few things about Simcha, but one thing that I'm just going to mention briefly, which is, a whole nother topic, is what Be'etzim is Simcha? It's the ultimate driver. If you're going to have Azus de Kedusha, something that's going to give you the ultimate push towards MS, Simcha is really at the foundation of everything. Why? Why does a person do anything, think anything, bring it to articulation, start a project? At the height of everything is Ratzon. I have an abstract will, undefined, in order to do something, and then I'm going to develop an idea, and that idea will develop into practical, how to achieve that idea into actionable steps or in terms of speaking. If I want to say something or I want to express something, that idea before it's developed is because I have a rutzen to speak out that idea. But what generates rutzen? What generates rutzen is ultimately that I have simcha, that I have pleasure in something, that I want something, that if this is achieved, it's going to be something that's going to give me simcha. We'll speak out more on simcha in a second. Very interesting. Actually, I'm going to say it now because I think it'll be better to say before the next point. There's a sefer, The Joy of Emunah, Rav Reuven Schmelzer. It has an unbelievable most of the pages is footnotes. So I'm not going to go through all of the footnotes, but he talks about why mitzvahs have to be fulfilled with joy. Why the sefer Haridim says Yadua she'ikra mitzvah al simcha gedoyla ba. He brings from another sefer by the Chasam Sofer, V'yesh schar al simcha yoyser mischar shel mitzvah at. What is it about simcha, about the simcha shel mitzvah that is able to, the mitzvah is, the root of the word mitzvah is tzavsa, it's connection, but what is it about the simcha that's behind the mitzvah that drives the mitzvah to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He quotes Rav Moshe Shapiro that what is the sensation of simcha is that of breaking out of limitations that confine a person to his physical borders. And this is going to jibe very well with everything we're saying, but I'm just going to read a few lines. It says, by definition, a human being is limited and cannot contain more than his natural capacity. When one is besimcha, his identity expands and breaks out of the natural boundaries of the guf. This is describing, in other words, I think we could say, azus de kedusha, a person, and ultimately anava, and we're going to see the position of yira with regard to simcha, but what is it, the simcha has to be directed in the right, correctly, but when a person is limited by certain things, he's limited by his own identity even, so that there's going to be an anav over there that we're going to say what drives simcha is going to be Torah and Tefillah, is going to be an expansion of self, a drive, a sairus, more than a sairus, a hishtoikikus, right? Hishtoikikus, a sairus, it could be I'm inspired to do something, hishtoikikus, I'm chaser even if I don't have it, I'm chaser rather if I don't have it, it's like water, I could want dessert even if I'm full, but if I'm thirsty, I need water, I'm chaser without it, and if I'm not thirsty, then water is not even desirable. When a person expands, the second that I think that I'm full, I'm in a good place, and I have tefillah, and I realize that there's more of a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, then no matter where I am, there's more to gain, and I'm a chasser, and I want to expand, and I want to bring that in, and then the next time that I bring something inside of myself, I realize that there's more levels, and I have a shtiris and a shtokas, and I break out of the natural boundaries of guf, I'm driven, I have simcha, I have azus. He says, that's the common denominator of all types of simcha. A person gets married, he expands himself to include a wife. A child is born, the family expands. Shabbos and Yom Tov, Me'ein Olam Haba, the ultimate simcha is relating to our limitless ruchniistic dimension, which is an infinite expansion. He actually goes on to bring a diuk. He says, the opposite of Olam Hazeh should be Olam Hahu, that world. But it's not Olam Hahu, it's not that world, it's Olam Haba, the world to come. We've said before, what's a Ben Olam Haba? Ben Torah is not somebody who is going to get Torah later. Ben Olam Haba is not somebody who is going to get reward later. Ben Olam Haba is somebody who lives with infinite spiritual Olam Haba de considerations now. Now he's a Ben Olam Haba. A person can, the example I think we gave earlier was a person moves a piece of plastic. Is he moving a piece of plastic or is he turning on a machine that can have a gajillion watts? A person who's a Ben Olam Haba understands in this world that he's living, I'm not just shaking a lulav branch. I'm not just eating matzah. I'm affecting unbelievable things. It's just that a person doesn't experience the effects of that until that's going to be to come. But an Olam Haba is not, it's not that world. That Olam Haba exists now. It's just that Olam Haba is going to come. And therefore, that's what Be'etzem Simcha is. So how does a person get to Simcha? A person gets to Simcha through Torah and Tefillah. We talked about this. Nasa V'nishma. We explored this in the previous year. It's going to be too much for now already. But a person constantly trying to expand, trying to bring in Makifin, trying to not limit himself. The opposite of that, by the way, this we said last time is Anava. The opposite of this is Gaiva. What's Gaiva in a certain sense? There's a story from Rav Yisrael Salanter. So two people arguing who is taller. So one person stepped up. He wanted to bring himself up, so he was taller. And the other person knocked the other kid down, so that he instead of bringing himself up, he knocked the other person down. Said, this one's going to be Gadol, the other person's going to be a Rasha B'Yisrael. The story is true. The facts might not be, like I said. But this idea, what's Anava? What allows for all this Simcha, Torah, Tefillah, the process of Nasev and Nishma, of constantly expanding, bringing things within oneself, and knowing Tefillah, knowing that I can relate to something outside of myself, having a shteikus relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until a person just constantly iterates on this process until they're nichlal in the Ein Sof, Taras Hashem, Tefilas Hashem. That's anava, understanding that where I am is only a speck, not even a speck, compared to those greater than me, and ultimately towards infinity, and understanding that tzaddikim is being how many levels outside of myself, that they are my relationship as I expand out, but I need a reference point, that I need to have a relationship, I need something to bridge that gap, and I have the tzaddikim. Gaiva is trying to say that I am the outer perimeters, what I think is correct, my perspective is correct, what I want is what I want, instead of expanding myself and being mevatel myself, as if you think about, let's say you hold a candle towards a larger flame, it'll become absorbed in a larger flame. If you have like a bonfire and you put you have a branch that has a flame on it, you put it very close, the flame will jump and it'll be nichlal. Okay, so now that's what it is, except now you can have the bonfire and it's close to a much bigger candle, right? And then you can iterate this process each time, and then it gets absorbed in something bigger than itself. What's gaiva? Gaiva would be the exact opposite of this process. We're going to see how anava really works its way into this lesson, and therefore the way to get to simcha, this expansiveness, is going to be through Torah and Tefillah. Now, the Iker Shleimus HaSimcha, going back for one more second, and we're going to be finishing off. I know this was almost like a shiur in and of itself, but I think that it's as good of a finale as any to bring the ideas together. Says the Kitzrach, Iker Shleimus HaSimcha Hi Al Yidei Yira. Why does it have to be through Yira, the Iker Shleimus HaSimcha? Because a person can expand in a lot of different directions, and some of them are actually very harmful. Some of them are very destructive. There's an infinite amount of things that could pull us in different directions, but there's only one MS, right? So if I'm going to expand, I need to be expanding towards the MS, so to speak, towards extra depth and extra levels of truth and things that before I didn't have. A person can get unbelievably advanced if he's learning the right things. He learns the Gemara and then Rashi and Taisfus and Rajba and Rishainim and then Achrainim. Or a person could spend his whole life on the wrong bookshelf with comparative religions. I don't know. If a person has the MS, how does a person expand in the right direction? There has to ultimately be a framework. The simcha has to be calibrated. What calibrates it? Really, hechrich. Really, the idea that there is a structure that's not violable. I'm going to read an unbelievable Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's in the new print of Kol Rum on this week's on last week's parsha, Parshas Bahar. He doesn't ask the question this way, but I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to use Rav Moshe to answer the question. I've heard others give similar answers. The Jews had said Naseh V'Nishma. That's the greatest commitment to Torah ever. After Naseh V'Nishma came Kafu Lein Harkagigas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, held the mountain over their heads. It's a medrash, it's literal, it's not literal, whatever it means. Why? If you're going to hold the mountain over their heads, that's fine, but now the Jews already committed to Naseh V'Nishma, why does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point hold the mountain over heads? Rav Moshe Feinstein comes at it from a different point. He talks about the idea of why we're chayiv and mitzvahs, tzavs, or relating. If you do something that's an unbelievable thing, and it might be an unbelievable thing, you did it because you wanted to. If I ask you to do something, what do you do? And let's say I ask you to do that. You give tzedakah because you think it's a nice thing to do. You do kibud ava'im because you realize it's a nice thing to do. I command you to do kibud ava'im, then you're mekayim my ratzon. That's nasa. Now you can have nishma and you can understand why what I said. You'll understand why it's true on the level that you understand it. And if I am not I, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ein sofius, then the more that you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more depth you'll realize as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing you towards the MS. But the reason that we do mitzvahs, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the reason we do bris milah is not because Avram had milah or get anasha, because Yaakov Avinu had get anasha. He says, no, the reason that we do it is because it was commanded on Har Sinai. And he says, v'lachain, this is unbelievable. Chazinan shemikol tamidei shem ve'ever shevadai ha'olam harbe talmidim. And all the nefesh asu b'charan, there were so many people owned by shem ve'ever, there were so many people that Avram Avinu brought with under the kanfei ashkina. Loinishar klum l'dar sabam, we have zero left. Where are they all? Why do we have zero left, not one? Lo yatzu mehem dairis taivim. Why? Mishum shemishim akayim es hamitzvus mitzad shu meivin atam lomal v'zeh chinuch. If I do something because I see that it's so then I can't give that over. I can't give over that that's that's intrinsically right. What I can give over is being committed to something that you recognize as truth. So if you recognize something different as truth, you'll say, oh, you know what I received from my father? That a person should go in the way that he understands to be as truth. When people did not keep mitzvahs because they were a mitzvah of Aiseh, because that was under the framework of Kafula and Har Kegiges, so then they're ultimately keeping mitzvahs because they have an understanding, whether it's, you know, based on, you know, we know that the Avos HaKadoshim were able to look into the Bria and see the mitzvahs, but ultimately that was mitzad der nevuahs, it wasn't mitzad a tzivui. And therefore, he says, that was intrinsically not something that could be given over. Because people say the later generations were more advanced, the earlier generations were more primitive, they did things they understood, so now we have more information, go basar bas raisa, we're going to do what we understand. And so therefore, everybody did whatever they wanted to do, there was nothing to give over. So we don't look back and say, you know why the Jews have certain values? Because at that time and place, they understood something. Now that we have additional information, or we're in a different culture, different time and place, we understand differently, we will follow the path of our ancestors and do what we understand to be right. Comes a Kaddish Baruch Hu and says, it's wonderful that you said Nasa v'nishma, that you recognize 2 plus 2 is 4. But I just want to tell you that the reason you're following that is not because you realize it's true, it's because it's intrinsically true. That's because it's hechrich. And therefore, in order to have simcha, is that going to flap in the wind? No, the ultimate driver of simcha is understanding that there's yira. You know why I want to expand? You know why this is MS? You know why I want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it's behechruch, because there's yira over there. The more yira I have, the more that I have an inner drive to get close and appreciate it. The more that I get close and appreciate it, the more I'm in awe of it, the more yira I have, v'gilu b'ra'ada. And therefore, this idea of yira and ultimately simcha, so he says, bereshis damaimer and the kitzer, and that's why emuna is called yirusha, shleimus has simchas through yira. Yira is a bechina of busha, which is a bechina of tefillah. Yarei Baishas, he says, Bereshis is the letters are Yarei Baishas, and in order to have tefillah, to have his batlas towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes from Yira, that comes from Busha, and therefore Amuna is called Yerushalayim, which is because the Iker Binyan of Yerushalayim, tefillah, Beis HaMikdash, Karbanos, all that comes Yira, that's from Bereshis, Yarei Baishas, Yarei Shalayim. He brings all these ideas together in terms of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yira, to Simcha, to Azaz, the Kedusha, which gets us close to the Tzadikim, which means that we could preserve the Chaysem, we could have a Mituk in the Din, we can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could have a Mituk in the Gzeira, and now we're going to go forward. So as we unpack a Gemara that starts off, Elazar Ze'ira from Bava Kama, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, the piece, Nachum just jumps into it. I'm just going to read out in English the piece so we understand the context of the Gemara. It actually has to do with how to evaluate damages. I'll read from the English from the Sfaria translation if anybody wants to follow along. It says that the Gemara relates Elazar Ze'ira was wearing black shoes, which was unlike the Jewish custom of that time, and he was standing in the marketplace of Nardai, a public area. The officials of the house of the Reish Galusa found him and said, "What's different about you that causes you to wear these shoes? That wasn't their custom." He said to them, "I'm wearing them because I'm in mourning over the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and so I wear black shoes, as is the custom of mourners." They said to him, "Are you a man of such importance?" It's a gaiva. "Are you a man of such importance to publicly mourn over Yerushalayim?" They thought that it was simply presumptuousness on his part. Since he was acting against the prevalent Jewish custom, they brought him to prison and incarcerated him. We'll have to see this in how we unpack in Likut Maran. Elazar Ze'ira said to them, hold on, "I am a great man, a scholar, and it is fitting for me to mourn publicly over the destruction of Jerusalem." So we already discussed earlier in this Torah and other Torahs also the danger, not just of Anava versus Gaiva, but especially Gaiva is running your Avoda. If a person has anava, they understand that who am I compared to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? I have the scope of my resources, of my skills, of my abilities, but really that's an accountability. A Kaddish Baruch Hu gave me that specifically in order to utilize, unless I'm measuring up to the level of 100%, I'm fully utilizing everything that I have towards a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If anything, that can be an indictment. If a person has gaiva, so I own my resources, my skills, my abilities, these are things I've gaiva, whether it's things that I'm good at, whether people have a good voice or even good looks, who's responsible for their looks, but people have gaiva over these things. And therefore, anything that they do is really reinforcing their own individuality, their own personality, but not in a positive way. They're folding avoda into reinforcing their kli, their gashmius, their guf, who they are, rather than using avoda to be able to subscribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, not B'tayrus gaiva, but B'tayrus, this is where I'm holding. The anava is not the avoda that I'm doing, or the outward avoda that I'm doing is not greater than where I'm holding. It's actually an expression of where I'm holding. So they said, how do we know that you're a scholar? He said to them, either you ask me a matter of halacha and I will answer you, or I will ask you a matter of halacha and you will answer me. They said to him, you ask, and we'll explain maybe why they went that route and what this dynamic is. He said to them, with regard to one who cuts a cluster of flowers on the stem of a date palm belonging to another, so somebody damages somebody else's property, their palm trees, what is he required to pay? They said he pays the value of the date stem. He said to them, but ultimately they will become ripe dates, which are worth more, so why should he only pay for the value of what he damaged when that's only bekayach, but now all of a sudden he robbed it of its potential, it was going to become dates? They said to him, if so, he pays the value of the future dates. He said to them, but he did not take ripe dates from the other person. How could the court obligate him to pay for damage that he didn't cause? They said to Elazar Zeira, you tell us the correct appraisal for the date stem. And he said to them, the court appraises the damage relative to a similar piece of land 60 times the size. And the Gemara Bava Kamma over there is talking about damages, right? In other words, if I damage fruits, how do I look at it? Am I looking at the damage to the fruits? Am I looking at the damage to the piece of land? The land is worth less without the fruits on it. And if I take a piece of land that's, let's say, a patch that's 100 feet, 100 square feet in the middle of Manhattan, well, that's going to have a different value of the value of 100 square feet as part of a larger parcel of land. So if a person damaged two rows of apples, then you say, well, how much did this decrease the value of land? If it's a small patch of land, I have to be able to have some sort of a standard way of evaluating it. So they said, value the damage to the land as how much would this piece of land be worth in the context of a piece of land that's 60 times the size. Okay, ayin sham, however the Gemara goes through it. Vizet pirish, elazu ze'ira havasayim misana uchma. Elazar Ze'ira was wearing black shoes. Amrule Mayavadit, what are you doing? Amr ka misabilna al Yerushalayim, I'm in mourning over Yerushalayim. What's the kavana in Pninius? Ki hayim misabil al Yerushalayim kiryan emana, hainu al kilkol ha'emuna. That he was being misabel, as he was being misabel al Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, as we said, is Kiryah Ne'emana. It's the city of faith. He wanted to rebuild back up Yerushalayim through being misabel, right? One expression of understanding the value of something is your reaction to it when there's a chisaron over there. Call a misabel al Yerushalayim zoyche v'raya bivinyana. How is a person zoyche to realizing Yerushalayim? A person could have something, they don't have something, but when a person feels the lack, things aren't right when something is missing. I heard this understanding one time. I think it was Rav Yaakov Weinberg, but he said that what does it mean that a person is every day you're waiting for Mashiach? There are certain days Mashiach can't come. When a person is mechake, it means things ain't right. Things are missing. I'm mechake. A person has, let's say they're waiting for test results, health test results, or, you know, admissions test results, whatever it is. They might know that they're not going to get it for 3 weeks, but they're not in a state of menuchas nefesh until a person knows what they're doing next year. Did they get into the yeshiva? Did they get into the university, the law school? Or they can't go on until they know they have a serious test result, a health test result, and they don't know what the future is going to look like. Yes, there are some days they know that they're not going to receive the mail. They can't open up the envelope on Shabbos. But until they know and they receive those test results, there's something missing. There's something that can't go on. A person's reaction to not having something shows that they're lacking equilibrium without it. Therefore, a person's misabla Yerushalayim, this is how the reaction is when we don't have Yerushalayim. We're a handicapped nation, as it were. There's, right, Ramache Varam Shisagidim, there's 248 positive commandments. How many of those commandments relate to things that just simply until we have the land, until we have Karbanos, until we have Beis HaMikdash, how many of those mitzvahs I say are relevant today? That means that even, yes, Baruch Hashem, we're from, we're sitting, we're learning, we're davening. By definition, we're only operating with 80 some odd. The Chafetz Chaim has a sefer on all of the mitzvahs that we have access to. B'zman HaZeh, a person is lacking the ability. It's a a body that's missing some of its limbs, but a person who's misabel on that, that's the person who's going to be zeicha to see it built back up. What's Yushalayim? Yushalayim is kirin emuna, so he's being misabel on the kilkel emuna. We said that emuna is going to be the primary thing in order to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. We talked in the context of when this gzar din passed, but the emuna is going to be the gateway. Let's see. Val kein siye misana ochma, you put on black shoes, lahayraish in his kalkel chaysim araglin, to show the shoes are on the raglin. The raglin, we said, are the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim have a role that on one hand they represent Klal Yisrael towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in order to be able to, and also in a dual role, they also represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, to Klal Yisrael, to bring Tochacha, to bring us close. But we're going to see